All right. Happy Wednesday. Oh, we're back again. So let's do it right this time. We're going to get started by introducing ourselves the way a podcast should. So I'm Rachel Vogt, and I'm so excited for us to get started with another podcast today. And I'm also excited that I get to spend some time with my best friend, Jess Anderson, who is here. Tell them who you are.
I'm Jess Anderson. You can find me at photoswithanderson.com or on Facebook. You can also friend request me so that you can follow along to my pregnancy journey that has been a mini roller coaster in itself. But today's 17 weeks.
Yay. Holy crap.
I know. Almost halfway. I'm excited.
Yeah. Almost, but not quite.
Yeah. And check out my boudoir Photos with Anderson Facebook group. It's private, but add yourself. Because I am trying to organize some outdoor water sessions for boudoir in August.
Did you find a place yet?
Yes and no. We're just going to do it at one of the public lakes or river locations, but I'm gonna try and schedule it during the day after school starts in August so that hopefully families and things are indoors and not out on the lakes.
Gotcha.
Hopefully.
That would be super fun. Super fun for sure. Good. Well, and I just did hair for a couple of your clients. I had boudoir sessions on Saturday, and
so much fun.
So if you have not booked a session, I would highly recommend it. One of the women was doing it for her husband, and the other was doing it mostly for herself. But the first girl even said, she's like, "This is for me." And I was like, "That's great. Get it, girl." So for sure, get those signed up. And me, I'm Rachel. So tomorrow we're cooking in the kitchen with Chef Tone. The three ingredients this week are mangoes, cinnamon, and feta cheese. That's what the winner picked from last week. It was so funny because I sent him to Chef Tone, right? And he goes, "Gross."
That's funny.
Yeah, I saw your face.
I was like, that sounds really like gross, but I'm like, well, knowing
it's a
Tone,
challenge.
But
yeah.
Knowing Tone, I'm like, I'm really excited to try it. Like, yeah. I want some of his food. Y'all just need to, like, I'm coming over Thursday nights. I'm just going to hide in the background and eat the leftovers.
Well, you can because we have so much.
Good.
We end up with three meals because he cooks it first to cook it. Then I cook it on live TV and F it up, live Facebook. And then he cooks it again for the winter. So we do. We always have extra. Okay. It's ridiculous. Okay. So today what was the other thing I got to plug? Sorry. 29th of the month is the empowerment class. And I'm so excited. This is, like I said, I think I've mentioned this on podcast before. Like, this is the first time I am unabashedly just like plugging something because of the amount of joy I get from doing the empowerment class, let alone the feedback I get from other people. And I've had so many women come to me who are really excited about it. So get your butts signed up. It is a $30 class. If you're struggling with any depression, anxiety, unease in your life, uncertainty, fear, any of those things, if something don't feel right, like you just want to be better in your life, then this is great for two different reasons. If you're somebody that's like looking for some guidance and you just have zero idea, then this class can really help to try to pinpoint why you're feeling the way you're feeling. And if you already have started making changes in your life, good on ya. But this is also a class that will help to clarify and expedite momentum for those changes too. So make sure to hit me up. It is an online course, so you don't even have to leave your house. We don't even have to know if you're wearing pants. It's totally fine. And I would love, love, love to see you. So make sure to PM me for those details as well. All right. So this week, we still don't really have a lot of structure, but what we decided to really kind of talk about was a continuation of a VIP post I did, which also, if you're 18 years or older and feminine energy, you can get your tush into that group. If you're interested about learning about sexual wellness and intimacy, for sure. I kind of went back to the classic thing that I was doing for quite a few years of just going live and talking about whatever. And this week it was about like one of the top things that I tend to see in my ordering rooms. And it stemmed from kind of more from a conversation that we had in like a consultant chat, like a sisterhood chat, where I was kind of looking for ideas about like, hey, what are you demoing? Like, what's your most popular items kinds of things. And it kind of slid into more of like, what do you hear from your clients? What are your clients looking for? And those kinds of things. And I kind of compiled my own top five things I hear the most, or I see the most, or whatever I talk about the most in my ordering rooms. But then I had even thought in the moment when I was doing the live about how I bet you other consultants' experiences are different. Like, we might see a lot of the same things, but I guarantee, depending on what you demo, Mm-hmm. And depending on how your demo is formed, like a lot of people focus on the entertainment aspect. A lot of people focus on the empowerment aspect. Mm-hmm. A lot of people focus on the education aspect. And some people have a dabble of two or all three. So I can guarantee, like, as I was thinking about it, I bet it is different for each person. So mm-hmm. it'll be kind of interesting to have this conversation with you, who also did Pure Romance for quite a while and have plenty of opportunities. Even there was one live, I think, I don't remember what we were talking about, but the amount of depth that you went into about, I think it was about lubrication. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, it's just so sad she's not doing parties anymore, because you even delved out more information than I do at my parties about the importance and stuff like that. So I think that if you feel like you're struggle busing in your relationship in the bedroom specifically, that's what we're going to talk about today. So if you are interested in hearing kind of what we hear in the order room too, it'll be a good one. Okay. But let's get into it. So I would say, it's hard for me to say, like, what would be the number one thing, because it absolutely differs, I'd say, season to season, year to year, culture to culture.
Culture to culture, and I think personality to personality, because...
And what's going on in the world makes a difference, too.
But between two different consultants, like, like, you right now at your parties, I think that you're very outgoing and very funny and make people laugh a lot at your parties, so you make people feel very comfortable very quickly with you.
Try.
There's other consultants that I've shadowed that are a little bit more dry humor, or they stick a little bit more to the facts about things, and it's less entertainment wise.
Correct.
Because that's their personality.
It's a presentation.
Yeah.
It's an educational.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But so it's a little bit like talking to your high school health teacher, you know, it's a little bit more awkward because it's in my
opinion. It's not a personal relationship?
Yes. Yeah. But that's personality to personality, because that doesn't fit with me, but it might fit with somebody else. They might feel more comfortable talking to somebody that's more factual, because they might feel more confident in their resources,
and their answers. Yeah, I think it's funny that you say that, because, like, I sometimes am dumbfounded about the amount of information people are willing to hand over to me, and not in like, girl, you crazy to give me this, like, holy crap, they trust me this much.
Yes.
But I see what you're saying. Is like, I honestly, still to this day, sitting in this chair 7.5 years later, I'd never really considered myself, I don't know, the teacher? Like, I guess. Like, you know, like, I always describe, before I would say consultant, mm-hmm. right? And then I kind of shifted into sexual wellness advocate.
Yeah.
So advocacy is still not, like, any formal training. It's just, this is my belief, and I think that everybody should have access to it kind of philosophy, right?
Like, I was given the access to this information, and I
want to pass it on.
I want to pass it on because I believe in it.
Yeah.
But yeah,
I think from their perspective, when they come in, they do see me as the expert. They at least see me as somebody who is passionate about it.
Or somebody that's willing to talk about it.
Willing to talk about it. That too. So when you say that, I mean, I think that takes some pressure off of me, because I always kind of felt like almost fake by saying that I'm a teacher, because I don't like to say I'm a teacher, because mm-hmm. there's no certification that goes alongside it. But there's nothing that says that people can't hold value from years of experience and truthful knowledge of acquiring that knowledge through parties and education and seminars and conventions and self-help books and whatever, that it's still a legitimate source for people to feel trusted that they're getting that. Yeah. So that makes sense now.
And I feel like, I mean, I've said a lot in the ordering room. I mean, sometimes I used to say it at my parties, but I would tell people, you know, I'm not a doctor, I'm not a teacher.
Right.
But if you want more information, or if you hear something that I say that sparks your interest and you want credible sources, I know where to find them.
Yeah.
I can give those to you. So it's almost like we are the middleman, mm-hmm. and that we're just the way, like, the person community. Like, I don't even, there's a word for it and my brain's going flat, but the medium? I don't even know. But basically, we're the middle person that's helping communicate and spread the awareness of our message.
Yeah. I know. I think because you don't know what the word is, it made it fall out of my brain, too.
I know. It hurts.
And the mediator is close, but that's not the word you're looking for. It's fine. All right. So, like I said, I don't know if I could tell you which is the number one, but we'll talk about five-ish. If we can come up with time, whatever. Five-ish top, at least from my side and then from your side, mm-hmm. and we'll go from there. So I would say, though, if I had to say the top thing, it's about libido. Like, the top thing I hear is that it's somebody has a higher drive than somebody. Mm-hmm. And when I first got into the business, I think the cliche was still very heavily that men had a higher drive than women. And I talked about this on my live the other day, that I was very, it's hard to say pleasantly surprised, because you don't want to be it's not a good feeling, but I was surprised in a good way how many women were coming into my order room telling me I have a higher drive than my partner. And I think that that's just great because, like, because of the cliche that was out there, I believe in my heart of hearts, like, I could tell you that I think that more women are interested in sex than people think.
Oh, 100%.
Even women. I think that women who are interested in sex think that they're the only ones, or they think that they're, I'd say in 2020, they think that they're a small percentage, but when I was even 18, I would say that women would have thought they were the only ones that were interested in sex, majority-wise.
100%. And I feel like on all of these podcasts, no matter the topic, I always come back to, it's because the rich white men that wrote the narrative for popular culture, you know, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, whenever it really started, I mean, it could have started 100 years ago, but they were the ones telling women that it was our job to please the man. So it created this narrative that the women's role was to please the man. It didn't matter if you wanted pleasure or not.
Yeah.
So it just naturally, in my mind, created this culture where it was believed that men had the higher libido because they were the ones that we were supposed to be pleasing. And we didn't, and people didn't talk about women's pleasure. It's
well, maybe there wasn't even any correlation between pleasure and libido at that time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
100%.
They just didn't even know it was the thing.
Yeah, I agree.
And I always like that when we talk about that kind of thing is that it's so important to remember where perspective came from because it did. It came from white men because that was even like when we talk about like when I talk about the history of vibrators at my party and I say, hey, did y'all know these originated in doctor's offices and people it's and especially nowadays, it's like more people do know it, but a lot of people don't know
they
it
don't.
And they don't believe it either. And I watched something that was really interesting that it was like maybe how they were talking about how still today in 2020 we're in like third world countries where they still do genital mutilation and they remove clitoral tissue from women. And, you know, we talk about like, why do they do this? Why do they do this? Well, because that's when the human body was being experimented on, when people were discovering the everything, anatomy, functionality, all of that stuff. It was a male-dominated society still. Well, still. I mean, that's what we're talking about. And that includes the scientific realm. So 100%. This was men poking at women's bodies instead of asking questions or having female doctors present. You know, and it's not a shame on you. It's just we didn't know any better at the time.
We didn't
know any better.
And we didn't realize how big of a difference the perspectives between the female man and male, sorry, the female brain and the male brain are, and the fact that you cannot solely rely on information from men to
Right.
make an accurate representation.
Just like you wouldn't have relied on one man's opinion.
Exactly.
Same kind of thing. But we know better, we do better now.
We know better, we do better.
Right.
And we follow the Wish Lab at UNL because
oh gosh, yeah. Please do that.
They're doing some great research into women's sexual health and pleasure. And you can get paid to masturbate for them if you're interested in that to help further female research. So check it out if you're in Lincoln, Nebraska or in the area.
Right. And they have their current study actually involves marijuana, THC, and alcohol and how that interferes or increases the libido and want. Yeah. Yeah. And it's really weird. Like, I mean, I posted it in my VIP page, like Jess said, you can get paid for it. So like you don't even have to tell your fucking friends, like, if you think this is weird, like, if they think I got paid to masturbate, yeah, but you have no idea what it is doing for women in terms of access to information, in terms of access to pleasure, to just living your best life, and it's so important. It's important. So
it's important.
Please go do it. Please go do it.
And Rachel and
I did not qualify. I think I was too old.
Oh, well, I was going to say, Rachel and I took a tour of their labs and got to see the work that they're doing and the types of things that they're looking for at during their research. Mm. And it was eye-opening. It was pretty
awesome. We both cried.
Yeah.
We both cried.
It was moving.
It was very moving just to see, like, it gives me goosebumps thinking about it now. Like, they were so open, just come down, see this. Like, we not only will we be doing a podcast.
With them, eventually.
With them, yes. They were more than open to doing that for us.
Pre-COVID.
Yes, pre-COVID. It was right before COVID happened. Mm-hmm. But they were just so open about letting us come into the lab. And I was just so surprised. And even afterwards, after we got to view everything that was going on down there, this is in the stadium, for those of you that are local. You did not know that, because I did not know that there was a research facility
in
the top part of the stadium.
The football stadium. It's
so
crazy.
Yeah, so to me, that even adds more power to the feeling of where you're at, in my opinion. Football stadium, female reproductive study happening, right? You know, but Then afterwards, they sat and they told us about all of the things that they have been doing. They have this giant marker board. Oh, it just gives me more goosebumps. they have this giant marker board about all of these studies that they wanted to do, all of these things that they were interested in. And there was just stuff on this board that just, like, it blew your mind, because it was like, I would have never thought that they would do a study on this. Or I wouldn't have even fathomed how they could have done a study on this.
Well,
and I wish I would have remembered more about what we... I mean, there was a lot of stuff with mind and transgendered identity in general.
It's funny because I had two trains of thought while I was staring at that board. The first train of thought was, how did they even think about creating this type of study? Like, how did they go about presenting this to a grant board somewhere?
Yeah.
But my other train of thought was, how in the world is it 2020 and we still don't have accurate information about these things?
Isn't that crazy how it's two ends of the spectrum?
Yeah, it was mind-blowing.
But one thing that I think that's been helping me a lot lately, because like when you think about stuff like that, oppression, when you think about non-equal rights, when you think about how far we have to go, right, is that. Like, but look how far we've come. And mm-hmm. I think that we as a society forget to do that quite a bit. It's like, it's not that... I'm not saying that there's not obstacles ahead of us and there's not people who are trying to stop it, which is just asinine when you look at it from that perspective, thinking everything's constantly moving. People are evolving. Everything has to evolve. Technology evolves. So it's always going to be ongoing, which is the power in that, is to know that maybe it's not that we're as far behind as we think we are.
Yeah.
But it's just... They started with man. White man.
White man.
White man.
They have to start studying other people and other cultures, and it's...
And celebrating it.
It is kind of inspiring, though, to know that you and I have access to that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And not just access, because it's very clear that they were so willing to talk about what they do with anybody. I mean, they were excited because we were affiliated with Pure Romance.
Right,
And that was a thing, that they wanted to know what we were teaching our clients, like how we were communicating certain things with clients, because they wanted to know how they could help us and give us better information, things like that, which they did. And I quote them almost all the time when I talk about fertility issues now.
Yeah, yes.
That was a huge thing.
It validated a lot of the things I felt in my heart about infertility.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And I'm so excited for the things that they're doing in the world.
Yeah.
But it inspires me a little bit to know that, you know, I've lived in Lincoln almost my entire life, and that, you know, this was a thing that's here, it's mm-hmm. been here for a while, and I had no idea about it. But because of the things that you and I do, like, we're introduced to these people, and my circle is becoming these people that are trying to change the world and do better things.
Yeah, I was legit, like, super excited how excited they were to be friends with us, too.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it was never, like, a concern of them thinking they were better than us. Mm-hmm. I thought they would be too busy for
us.
It was. So, yeah, we should totally, I didn't even think about reaching back out, even though I started seeing the Wish Lab stuff coming back through on Facebook, so I'm wondering what's going on.
Yes.
I'm sure
Once UNL completely opens back up to in-person classes, then we can start doing stuff with them.
Cool.
Because they, obviously they can't do anything in the lab until UNL opens back up.
Sure. Exciting.
Yeah.
So
that was a little burp.
Yeah, that was it. But that's why it's so important. Mm-hmm. That's why it was an important squirrel moment, because yes, women, you need to know that there's nothing wrong with you if you crave sex, if you're attracted to your partner, if you daydream, if you masturbate, if you masturbate excessively. What is excessively? I don't even think that's
That's an
option.
It's
perspective.
Yes, exactly.
Ah!
but it's one of those things that it makes me think of, again, back to the white man who created the narrative, is that they also pushed this narrative of, if women had high libidos, all you could be was like a whore or a prostitute. Like, those were the only women that had high libidos. They didn't,
mm-hmm.
like, if you think back to 80s, 70s, 60s movies, I don't remember seeing a lot of women who were promiscuous that weren't painted as sluts and whores and prostitutes and things like
that. Right, it was very rarely an empowerment.
Yes,
an very empowering role.
So now I think that's why a lot of women, especially older women, have shame around mm-hmm. high libidos, and they don't want to talk about it, and they feel uncomfortable admitting, especially, I mean, I've had women that are twice, sometimes three times my age, if not older, in the ordering room, because, you know, I was in my early 20s when I did Pure Romance. And so it's not uncomfortable for me, but it's almost one of those things where I'm like, I'm nervous because I don't want them to think less of me as an advocate just because of my age. But then when I hear them open up about things like, we never talked about this growing up, we were, you know, our parents told us that it was shameful, our parents didn't like explain the birds and the bees to us until we were much older.
Mm-hmm.
I've never owned a vibrator, or I didn't own a vibrator until after I was 50. Like, being able to talk to them and let them know that, you know, you're all of the medical benefits to masturbation
right.
and to owning your sexuality, and that, you can get rid of all that mental stress
right.
from just opening up and accepting your sexuality and
yeah.
and owning it and being proud of it. Like, it's, I am sad that I'm not going to be doing parties anymore, because it was a very empowering feeling, and having those one-on-one conversations with women.
And yeah, that's my favorite part.
And letting women know exactly.
And the demo is always fun.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah. And the laughs.
Making people laugh, yeah. yeah. Especially about sex.
Oh, yeah.
I was incredibly flattered. Last night there was a client of mine at this meeting I was at, and she said to me, I might, three times, not exaggeration, because I'm like, I'm not going to be able to leave. Are you trying to make it so I can't leave this room because my head will be too big? Like, she was just so kind. Like, you're my idol, is what she said. And she is over 40, mm-hmm. I will say. I'll just be graceful. She's over 40, and it was just so sweet. I was like, it was so validating, because she was like, there's other people that do what you do. She's like, I had a consultant. She's like, but the way you do it is different. The way that you incorporate the life aspect to it. And I said, well, to me, it was, and I was like, thank you so much for letting me say this out loud. To me, that's what made it different, was that I could see that it was going to take somehow to make it. And I didn't even know it until now.
Mm-hmm.
But I knew I was going to have to make it real some way. That I was going to have to, like you said, I don't like the word normalize it, because it's already normal.
It's normal.
But that's the problem. That's what normalize means. But, you know, I knew that if I could incorporate it into the world, to your life somehow.
Make it easier to accept.
Right. Because then you could see how it was a natural flow. And somehow there was a disconnect. There became a disconnect about the most natural thing on planet Earth, because it's the only way we're here.
Mm-hmm.
It's the only way. I mean, animals have zero shame about it, because they only do it for reproductive standards, right? For the most part, most species, right? But we have this amazing opportunity to make it a conscious thing,
mm-hmm.
that, you know, you talk about, like, women's bodies are, in my opinion, more important. We house the fetus, we grow the baby, and you can't do that with male reproductive parts. And so obviously we are essential. Obviously both are essential.
Mm-hmm.
They're both essential for the reasons that it takes to create the baby. But when you run off with this philosophy that women are promiscuous because they enjoy pleasure, when it's like, My job is to teach my children that somehow, some way. Like,
mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's so complex in that regard, but I don't know where the disconnect happens. I mean, I do. It's a myriad of different things, and that's why the weave is so tight that you can't unwove it, right?
Mm-hmm.
But just, if you just spent 5 minutes, I think, literally just repeating to yourself, what's my hang up? It's natural. What's my hang up? It's natural. Like, you're going to have this internal thing that's going to fight you, and it's going to go, but it's dirty, but it's wrong. You know, whatever it is. But if you just repeated the question, but it's natural, then that's not a question, but it's a statement.
Mm-hmm.
Then you would eventually tear down the, okay, all right, yeah, maybe somebody else thought it was dirty, but do I think it's dirty?
Oh, yeah.
Not with somebody I love, where I appreciate the experience.
Exactly. It's one of those things where, okay, it's dirty, but not all sex is dirty. Sex with my partner is beautiful, you know.
Yeah.
And having dirty sex is not shameful, but it's one of those, like, and it's not something.
Well, and what does dirty mean to you? Do you picture two crackheads who are so strung out they're not enjoying it? Or do you picture two people rolling around and pudding because that's dirty? Or do you picture, like, leather and whips and hands, handcuffs and chains? What is your version of dirty?
Again, that, exactly. That word is different for everybody.
Yeah.
But I guess, what, in my experience, what I associate with the word dirty when it comes to sex is,
lots of partners,
like lots of
unprotected sex,
yeah. lots of partners with, like, no relationship. So it's,
gotcha.
If you're having that, I want to make this very clear. If you are having unprotected sex with multiple partners, no judgment. Like,
but you better be transparent with your partners.
Yes. Be transparent with your partners. Be transparent with yourself. Educate yourself on the risks.
But again,
no judgment.
It's
your body. As long as everything's consensual, everybody's happy, nobody's getting hurt, rock on.
Both of the women in this room have clearly had unprotected sex.
Yeah, as I'm cooking my
food. Yeah.
Yes. So, again, it's one of those things. No judgment.
Right.
Like, again, there, to me, unless your sexual fantasies and or practices involve minor children, I don't judge anyone. As long as everything you're doing is of age, consensual, doesn't hurt anybody, and legal, awesome. I mean, there's even some illegal things because of illegal substances that I'm pro incorporating with sex because certain states are behind the times. But anyways.
Yeah.
Now I lost, oh, I got a little tangent, now I lost where we were at. But that's the thing is, oh, dirty. The word dirty.
Yeah.
Go through your head and go, okay, but what do I think the word dirty means? What do I think the word wrong means in terms of sex?
And do I think what I'm doing is dirty?
Exactly. Because you might think that all sex is dirty, but then if you actually think about what the type of sex you're having, does that align with your beliefs or
right.
not? Because that'll help break that down as well.
Exactly. And then it's just repetition, I think.
Yeah.
Because it's not getting, the first time you go, okay, no, what I did last night was not dirty. It was great. And then the next time, it's going to creep up. You're not going to be superhero at week two. Like, you just have to constantly remind yourself.
It's a muscle.
Then,
you have to flex it.
Find friends you can talk to that have the same ideas and beliefs that you do about
sex.
Talk
to your partner about it.
Talk to your partner about it for sure. But anywhere that you can just get the reinforcement that you're looking for. And then remember that that's not wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And remember that where you are right now is also not wrong. Just because you don't want to be there doesn't make it wrong. And I think that that's for me where I'm doing a lot of recognition of is that I'm struggle busing so much with whatever I am in the moment that I think that I'm stuck here.
Mm-hmm.
And just being okay with that. All right, well, I won't be here forever. Like accepting that. That's been really difficult, but it's been good work. Okay. So higher libido. And that's also, what's the word? We just said it. It's subjective too.
Mm-hmm.
That's subjective as well. Because maybe you're in a relationship where your partner only desires it once a month and you want it once a week and you think that that's excessive.
Oh yeah.
Right. But then there's women who,
like myself,
could have it every day.
Multiple times a day.
Yeah, exactly. So again, it's all relative. So find out by having a conversation with your partner.
Yeah. And be honest with your partner and hopefully they'll be honest with you about wants and desires and needs. And if there's a disconnect, I mean, I'm pretty open and honest with my relationship with Brett. Like my libido is higher than Brett's. It was before pregnancy and now pregnancy has just magnified it because of hormones. But he was very open and honest and talked about the things that are going on in his life that are affecting his libido. The fact that,
which is really great for him, by the way, because masculinity sometimes awareness is not there.
I'm pretty lucky. I think it's because I talk out loud about a lot of the stuff that I'm going through and I'm very vulnerable with my own struggles that he feels comfortable opening up and non-judgmental. But he opened up about like the stress of his court case with his kids and like child custody, the physical stress of his job because he does manual labor.
Yep.
So it's like, we kind of came to this agreement that one of my fantasies, since he comes home all hot and sweaty, is that he just comes in the door and we just bang it out like right there in the entryway. But he made it very clear. He's like, while that is hot and like awesome that you want to jump my bones the second I walk in the door, he's like, I literally just got done working outside in the heat all day. So physically I cannot perform. And he's like, and if you force me to try and perform, I'm going to get down about the fact that I can't perform. And so it's one of those things that while it's frustrating because I'm like, oh, I'm not going to get that fantasy, I understand. It's funny that they're banging on the door while we're talking about sex.
Yeah.
But it's one of those things where it's like, oh, bummer. Like, I'm not going to get to fulfill that fantasy. It's also like, but I understand my partner's like wants and desires as well. And I don't want to make him feel bad because he can't perform. Like,
right. So you can understand his perspective of the fantasy.
Exactly.
And also you're also not waiting in expectation.
Yes. And it's also, I'm not bummed out or let down every time he comes home and goes to take a shower and lay down for a little bit after work. I'm not like, what's that? I told you my fantasy. Why did it not happen?
Yeah.
Like, now I'm just like, oh, cool. Like, he needs some time to cool down. He needs some time to relax. So
communication's
pretty awesome.
Yes. Can I also say that, so having a partner who is in that, I don't know how to say it without just saying it. So like,
just say it.
Well, I'm trying.
It's Brett. We don't care.
It's not Brett. No, it's not. It's more like, but having a partner, like, I think that's able to shift that perspective. Like you had said, I think when you talked about like him working out all day out in the heat, like, yes, like I would say, so here's a scenario. Like maybe you initiate something and partner just turns you down, and so then without any clarification you're feeling rejected.
Oh yeah,
right,
100%.
But if something comes up where it's like, I just thought that this was really cognizant, maybe we as a partner who works out in the heat and hard labor, right, you're probably going to want me to wash my balls first,
yes,
right? Like, I know you think that this is hot, but you probably have no idea how gross of a man I smell, right? Like, without that perspective, right? Like, that would be for, I think, for a woman who You're like, hey, I'm like day two period, haven't showered. Mm-hmm. Like, I'd love to hook up, but I need to shower first. Exactly. Right? Like, that's awkward, but it's okay to have those conversations. Your body is normal. It's normal to sweat. It's normal to stink. It's normal to discharge. So making those, and it doesn't have to be like, we sat here and giggled, but in the moment I like appreciated that feedback.
Yeah.
Like kind of just knowing that I wouldn't have thought about that.
Oh yeah.
So it has nothing to do with rejection. It's about convenience and appreciation for your partner's nose.
in that regard. I really appreciate where I'm at in my relationship now when it comes to talking about sexual things, because in the beginning, I very much so would not tell him what my train of thought was. And so if I felt like he was, you know, turning me down for the night or rejecting me, I internalized all of that and cried. Like there were a couple of times that before I was comfortable crying in front of him, would go out to my car in the middle of the night after he'd fallen asleep to cry, because I was like, he rejected me. He doesn't find me attractive. He's going to break up with me. Like crazy monkey mind, right? New girl in a relationship.
Right.
And so now it's, you know, he and I both, it's equal. I mean, turn each other down occasionally, but it's like right now I'm dealing with a lot of hip issues and back issues. And so it's like, mentally, I'm like, I want to jump your bones, but physically, my body's like, if you do, you will break. Like, everything is going to break in half. And so it's just communicating that. And some days are better than others. But then it's on his part, if he feels really stressed out about something that he hasn't talked to me about, that's a great, like, opener of, hey, I really want to have sex tonight, but I've got this going on. And then we talk about whatever's going on. And then sometimes he feels better, and he's like, okay, now that I've got that off my chest, I want to put something else on my chest. Like, you know, like, it leads into sex. But it's just having a relationship where I feel like I can talk to my partner and be vulnerable and be honest without the fear of being like them getting angry or turn the situation around as to how dare you kind of things. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
And yes. If you're not in a relationship like that,
just know, see, it's possible.
It's possible. Keep looking.
It's possible. Yes. I mean, because it is one of the things that people often still say to me is like, how do I find a tone? I'm like, what do you mean? How do you find? Like, I don't know how I found him.
Yeah.
I actually do. I actually figured it out the other day. I finally had like this huge aha moment, and it was like way out of my comfort zone to share it with him, because I'm like, you're going to think it's woohooey. And then I shared it with him. And he's like, was there an end to your story? I'm like, see, it's fine. It's fine. It was for me. It was not for him. So that was why I was like,
how'd you find tone? I want to know.
Oh, well, that'll have to be a conversation off podcast. Oh, okay. Not because of privacy. Cause it'll,
that's fine.
You know more than listeners do for me to be able to like explain it in better detail. So, I think what you had just ended your last conversation we were talking about with being able to have that kind of conversation in a relationship leads into, you know, when you talk about having the lower libido in the relationship, because again, that was what was cliche, but it definitely still happens. Mm-hmm. And there's gray areas. I have women I speak to who feel terrible about having a low libido, and
they
had a higher libido in the past and they don't know why it's different and they're trying to figure it out. Maybe they've never had a high libido. Maybe they've never talked to their doctor about some things that could be going on that's causing that. Mm-hmm. Maybe they just are low sexual desire. So there's everything in between. There's like, sometimes I want it, sometimes I don't. Sometimes I hate my partner. Sometimes he's the most attractive thing I've ever seen, whatever. So there's so many areas to it, but I would say that the sad thing for people who don't want to hear this is that it still boils down to communication. And the hard thing out of that is that it takes two people to communicate. So sometimes you're on one side of the fence where you're totally ready to be open and talk about these things, mm-hmm. and that person is not. And it's difficult as the consultant in that role, because we almost always will never meet your partner. We can't get their perspective. We can't talk to them. And even if we were close enough to do so, they probably wouldn't open up to us about the things that we need to know. But I will say that I feel very grateful for the women who have stuck with me over the years, that their partners absolutely have come to know me through Facebook and trust me in that sense. I don't get people knocking on my door to ask me questions, but I have people reaching out saying, I had my partner watch this video with me, or I talked to my partner about that thing you said, and we have questions now. Oh. And it comes through from, you know, female partner most often, but that's still really powerful stuff.
Well, and it's funny that you say that, because something that I hear very often in the ordering room is women asking, can I give my boyfriend your number? Can I give my husband your number?
Oh, yeah. That never happens for me.
I literally have told them, I'm like, you can, but I guarantee you they'll never use it, because they didn't hear me talk. They didn't hear the information I give them. They're not connected to it the way I am. But I have had, I can think of two guys off the top of my head that they reached out to me on Facebook, and they were just like, hey, my girlfriend, my wife, whatever, came to one of your pure romance parties. Like, I found you on Facebook through your business card, whatever.
No,
like,
I've never had that happen.
I've had two guys in 4 years reach out to me. One was he wanted to order something for her to surprise her, and he didn't know, like, he had no idea where to start. And then the other one was he asked me a relationship question. And
That's cool.
I was like,
what? I did have a completely random guy reach out to me. He was getting married and he was a virgin.
Oh.
And I did check out his page first. He was like a pastor or something.
Oh,
I was
okay.
Like, legit, right? Yeah. So I did talk to him for like 2 weeks straight about like just like first night stuff and that kind of thing. So that was really cool. And that was, he's like, I just put in pure romance consultant and I found you on Facebook. And he was like from Texas.
Mm.
So that was really cool. And that was just recently, actually. That was this year. But I have had a lot of this run into somebody in public. Oh my God, this is Rachel, you know, from Facebook. And he's like, hi. Like, yeah, I know who you are.
Yeah.
But it's not always like that. Like, there's definitely some cool dudes who are down. You're like, oh, yeah, you're that chick. Like, oh, my wife. And it's best when they say things like, my wife has the best time at your parties. Please don't say something to me about being, oh, you're the butt plug lady.
Yeah.
Like, I don't even care if you really call me a vibrator. You're the vibrator. Like, I don't really care about that, honestly. That doesn't bother me either. Don't call me a butt plug lady. Like, in public, especially. That's not a t-shirt I'm trying to wear. Like, a koozie I'm trying to print.
Imagine you with your kids, like, out to dinner. And somebody's just like, oh, butt plug lady.
Butt plug lady. No, look what I started. Okay. That doesn't happen, really.
No.
But I love it when they're good sports because I think that for the most part, if I'm recognizable to them, I've made an impact somehow.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really great stuff. So,
I still have a vivid memory of we were getting ready to go to Missouri, I think for a team meeting or something. And we were at Super Saver and a gal ran into you and like said hi and you were just like, oh, hi. And then you felt bad because you didn't know who she was, but she was so excited to run into you in public. And I remember like, I think we were with Lacey and we were like giving you crap about
giving me a hard time afterwards.
Giving me crap about your PR tumor.
Yes. I did also have that happen one time where I did like an exchange for a lady.
It was
so cute. Amber, I'm going to call her out. Like I went to her house and she opened the door. She's like, come in. I was like, nobody ever asked me to come in for a product swap, you know?
Yeah.
And she was like, I'm so glad you're here. Like we chatted for like 5-10 minutes about the page and stuff like that. I've never had that happen. And then I had dinner with a client last week and it was funny because like Tony was like, who are you going to dinner with? And I was like, well, she started off as a client. She was a great client of mine. She became more of a friend. She started hanging out when I did the coaching. Like I'm like going on to like the evolution of our relationship basically. So I'm like, she's like a friend now. So we went to dinner. I was like, she's doing her own thing. We're kind of talking about that or whatever. So I was telling her about how I told Tony that. And she goes, oh my God, that's funny you said that because I was literally on my way here going, holy shit, I'm about to have dinner with Rachel. I was like, oh my God. What do you mean? I'm just a person.
Right.
I'm just a person. But that's still great. Like if they think that way of me for some reason, I thought of that way of somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
I thought of that way of somebody else, and that person absolutely elevated me to be the next level mm-hmm. of who I am. So
you did that for me.
And that gave me a little thing right here that went right here. So you can't see me in the podcast, but I went from my chest to my throat.
Yep. did
the air get tight in here? So lower libido is where we're going with that. But here's the thing: is that like. That's the thing is that you have to figure it out. Like, is it a mental connection?
Mm-hmm.
Is it something tied to your perception of sex? Does it turn you off when mm-hmm. you think about sex? Is it a potential hormone imbalance, diet issue, lifestyle
mm-hmm.
contribution? Those are all important.
Or just age and menopause, premenopausal women.
Yeah.
Like, it's all hormonal changes.
All hormonal.
Natural, normal bodily changes
yep.
that you go through.
Common. Is it your relationship?
Mm-hmm.
Are you just detached from your partner? Do you have trust issues with your partner? Are you checked out of your relationship? Of those things.
Have you gotten to a point in your relationship and with your family that you have stopped dating your partner and you've become more of roommates?
Whatever role,
you know, taking care of the co-parenting with children.
Yeah.
In the same relationship, but you've kind of, you know, stopped dating each other so it doesn't feel like you're in a relationship anymore.
Yeah. So one of my favorite things to do is to talk about that kind of thing because in the ordering room, one of my first questions, well, not even the ordering room, people message me, I've gotten to a point where I feel like I cut through the BS because I'm like, the first question I have for you is, do you see yourself with this person long term?
Mm-hmm.
I could sit here all day long and you could tell me every reason why you're not wanting to have sex right now, but it doesn't matter if you don't see yourself with this person long term. And I've gotten very good at, I'd say I've got like probably like, I have 75% chance of being able to, I don't like to say guesstimate because it's not like I say I know, but based on what you tell me, I can tell you whether or not you're going to be with your, I can tell you if you want to be with your partner, because I can't say whether you'll be with your partner because too many of you are still in a relationship you shouldn't be in.
Correct.
Or doing, you're not doing the work to repair what you want to Correct. Have repaired. So I can usually gauge pretty well at that. So stop wasting your effing time, by the way, out there. But what I love about that is that, you know, when we have those hard conversations, because I've had ladies literally come back and go, I don't know. I'm like, well, that's a question you have to kind of sort through first, because none of this will matter.
Mm-hmm.
None of this is going to make a damn bit of difference if you don't know.
Oh, yeah.
Because one thing that I can share about my previous relationship is that when I signed the on the dotted line to become a pure romance consultant, my fiance at the time goes, why would you do that? Like, it was clearly such a disconnect in his world that I would be interested in selling products like that.
Well, because... I hope you're okay with me saying, but like the whole thing he said was, why would you sell something like that? You don't even like sex.
Yes.
And you've always told the story about like, but you're like, but I do like sex. But then you realized that you didn't like sex
with him.
And that was your aha.
That was like that was as verbatim what happened that moment. But because I didn't say those words out loud to him.
No.
I said to myself, I screamed it in my brain, but I do like sex. I've always liked sex. And even in that moment, it wasn't about, well, holy crap, I'm in the wrong relationship. That was he doesn't believe in me to sell this.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and there was so much resentment in that business for me getting started because I think on his part, because it was like rubbing it in his face. Like, I don't understand. But yes, it was the retrospective understanding that I was in an environment that I was not attracted to my partner in that way. And I didn't know that. I just thought it was normal to feel the way that I was feeling after a decade of being together. Mm-hmm. And so I would still say that I had a really high drive. And I think that was definitely, that's like another story for another day. But that was definitely, I've mentioned this on other podcasts. That's why I often broke it off. But I couldn't see the pattern in that.
Mm-hmm.
Stupid Rachel. I wasted a lot of people's time. There's a lot of dissecting when you're the one that you feel like you have a lot. I feel like it's easier for me to work with women who have higher libido than it is with a lower libido, because I think that's a lot of internal connections between figuring things out and being open to rewiring a new habit of thought. Because I'm not even asking you to get into a new habit of action, of initiating or telling your, like, masturbating or whatever, but just thought about this is normal. It's natural.
Yeah.
It's okay.
And the thing that I stress to women is if you have the lower libido in the relationship, whatever, again, that's, you know, relative to your relationship, what the lower end means.
Yes.
Do not ever let somebody tell you to just have sex. Like, just have sex, get over it. Just have sex, it'll fix your relationship. Just have sex, it'll make
Sometimes
everything
you
better.
Just have to do it.
Yeah.
Did I tell you that, right?
But I don't think that that's a healthy way to figure out that, like, you're not going to find out the root of the cause. You're not going to figure out how to fix your relationship or why you have a low libido by just being a dead fish.
It's going to make your situation worse.
Worse, because you're going to feel obligated to have sex.
Correct.
And you should not, in my opinion, you should never feel obligated to have sex with your partner. You should want to have sex with your partner,
right,
unless you're in a, you know, unless you're in a relationship where sex is not your end all be all or your main focus, or it's not a contributing factor anymore. Because there's a lot of relationships, especially as you get older, that it's all about companionship, and sex is not even a small factor in their relationships, which is perfectly normal and fine and okay. And that's awesome for your relationship. But if you're in a relationship where you feel like you want to have sex, but you can't figure out why your body doesn't want to have sex, don't just do it. Don't, like,
yeah, I agree with that.
Don't just lay down.
Don't be a dead fish.
Yeah, to make your partner happy, because
you're not.
You're not going to be making your partner happy by being miserable.
Correct. I agree. I would agree with that fully, for sure. I was just curious if I had said this on a previous podcast, so stop me if I have. When you said that, because right towards the end of my relationship, I might have been having that identical conversation about what Brent said to me. About being a peer romance consultant to my best friend, who then said, well, sometimes you just got to just do it. Did I say this?
Maybe. I don't remember.
So it was almost those identical words. And in that moment, as somebody who was like, is still my best friend to this day, who literally helped me raise Cole for a couple of years, I never never thought her advice was wrong. Every time she's ever given me life advice, in that moment, I was like, that is the worst thing I've ever heard her say to me. And I truly believe to this day, I understand what her intention was. And it was different from the interpretation I was taking from her, because she didn't know where I was at, where my head was in that relationship. Like, I probably assumed that at some point I was still attracted to him, and I didn't know that I wasn't. So for me, I was hearing what you were just saying was like, I could never have sex with somebody just to have sex with somebody, or to appease them, I guess. And it felt like it reverberated out for me that I was like, and neither should anybody else. Yes. Like, I was like, how dare you? But that wasn't her intention. It was my interpretation.
When I've heard people tell their friends.
Oh yeah. I've heard that too.
Like, oh, you should just do like, just have sex. Like, you just need to get over the hump, over the dry spell, whatever. And it's one of those things where you have to take a step back.
No, you have to figure out why you don't want to have sex.
But you have to take a step back of, okay, just do it. If you want to have sex, but you like, there's been a barrier or time constraint or like scheduling conflict or whatever, and you're like, you just got to do it. Like, screw if the kids are awake or not. Like, just lock the bedroom door and just do it. That's one thing.
Yeah, that's different.
You want to have sex. The desire is there. You want to make
it work.
Exactly. Yeah. But there is something physical barrier that you have to just get over the physical barrier to be able to have sex. But if you are in a mental state where you do not want to have sex, don't ever let somebody pressure you into just doing it to appease somebody else. Like that in my book is a reason to leave a relationship. Like I personally, I
was literally, while you were saying that, I think that was a slippery slope into.
Oh yeah.
Some rape. Yeah,
exactly.
Now I was going to say marital rape. Yeah.
Marital rape is a thing.
It is a thing.
It exists. It is not.
You don't have to actually be married by that term, by the way.
Yes. If you're in a relationship with anyone and they force you to have intercourse when you do not want to have intercourse, in my book, that is rape. I'm not trying to take away from anyone else's experience. If it was a stranger, you were abducted, whatever your situation was. But if you do not want to give your body to another person in any circumstance, any relationship to that other person, you should not have to. Your body, your choice.
Yep.
And so it's one of those things where when people say that, like, I cringe. My whole body cringes.
Well, because I just don't think a lot of women know it's a thing.
No, like they don't.
Because they feel the obligation.
They do.
Or they think because they know this person or even love this person that it's not rape.
Yeah, how could it be rape? Like, I'm just doing what the Lord put me on this earth to do, to please my husband.
Yeah.
Again, that is the narrative of the white man from the early 50s, 60s, or whatever, telling the housewives that it's our duty to please our partners. It's not.
It's not your duty, but it should be your want.
Yes.
Yeah.
But there's another word for equally that I was trying to think of, and pregnancy brain's getting the best of me today, but it should be equal on both sides. You should want to please your partner to make them happy as your partner should want to please you to make you happy.
Right. It should overall enrich both of your experiences.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah. So I would say the opposite end of the spectrum, of course, like, so you've got these women that they don't know why and they're kind of upset about it. They feel guilty about it. And then I have women who are just like angry. Like, they don't give to if they ever get libido back, and those women, it's harder for me to work with. I mean, I'll tell you, first and foremost, most of them aren't coming in the order room anyway, because they don't want to talk to me. And some of them often don't even like that I'm there.
No.
And I'm like, then why are you here?
Very,
but I know why you're mad at me.
They are very vocal, negative.
Oh yeah. That product is stupid. I would never buy that.
Yep.
We know you, girls. We know you, and we know you well. And I'm not like, listen, I know that your intention there is not to upset me or try to make me mad, but at the same time, you know, it kind of is, but it's never going to. So just know that, because I don't even want to say this, but I just feel bad for you.
Well, it's one of those things that I am happy that you're here. I'm happy that you showed up to have a girls' night, to whatever your reason for showing up, even if it was just to heckle me.
Yep.
But I get mad and angry because you don't know anyone else's story in this room. So if there's 20 women in this room right now and you're negatively talking about sex, there could be somebody in here who is a rape survivor, a sexual assault victim, who was scared to show up because they want to have sex, but they feel guilty or dirty about it.
Yeah.
And now hearing someone vocally tell them that product is wrong, but they were semi-interested in it.
Yeah.
You're setting them back for their progress.
Yep.
There's women in there that have never heard about these products. And so their first impression of these products is someone talking negatively about it instead of listening to the educational portion about why using a lubricant might be important. But you said, like, that made his penis slip out and go in the wrong hole, and that was disgusting. And like,
well, those, it's not even that, it's gross. Just like the great headers, like when you talk about lubricants for oral, and like, are you serious? Yeah.
It's anything. It's heckling. It's still painting a negative picture about something that could be beneficial to another person in the room. So you, like, I love when women come to the ordering room and they share their negative experiences with a product with me, because it helps me figure out what they actually need in the bedroom. And it's not always
a product. Or if they were using that right.
Yes. And it's not always a product. Like, I have never been a consultant that was pushy, that was like, oh, you have to buy this. You have to buy this. You have to buy this. I'm like, what kind of sex do you like? How can I benefit you? Is there anything in the catalog that sparked your interest that you have more questions about? Have you tried anything similar to these products? Like, I like finding out about the client.
Right.
But it breaks my heart when I can see somebody in the crowd, somebody in the room who looks really excited about a product, hear somebody go, gross, or like, ew. Like, and then their light dims because they're like, oh, now I feel shame or guilt about being interested in that product. And then that person who feels shame and guilt usually never comes to the ordering room because they don't want to be seen as dirty for going into the ordering room.
Yeah. Yeah. So when I say that I feel sorry for you, I think I should clarify, like, the women that feel that way, because it's, I don't know if it's, I think it's more empathy. It's just because you just feel like that is the way it should be, because it shouldn't. Mm-hmm. It, like, if you have zero desire, that's different. But when you have anger, something, or disgust around it, there's something tied to that. Exactly. There's something tied to that. So,
and you're coping with anger and negativity. Yeah. And that's not a way to want to live. Like, right. I don't like living in negativity. So.
Correct. Correct. And then I also feel for your partner, because what if your partner, it is incredibly important for them to have physical touch and intimacy, and to you, I mean, you're treating it like it's garbage. Mm-hmm. So how does that, I think, is the biggest thing for me, is especially like, gosh, I don't sometimes I've heard women, like, what is the word I'm looking at? It's almost like a celebratory thing. Like, we haven't even done that in 6 or 9 months. And I'm just like, but what about your partner? Mm-hmm. So what is your partner's incentive to anything that you're asking for in the relationship? Again, that doesn't go back to you trade sex for something. Yeah. I'm talking about intimacy. I'm talking about connection. I'm talking about making sure that their needs are validated and a priority in your life. If you want that relationship to grow, then it should be. That's harder for me, because I don't feel like I have as much experience or exposure to women who are willing to have a hard conversation about, why do you feel that way? You know, like, or what's even more funny is, like, when they will talk like that at a party and you'll get them to come into the ordering room. And sometimes, like, they'll maybe just buy something completely random. Mm-hmm. But then other times that they get something that you're like, okay, well, you're really lucky that the ordering room's confidential. Because if you would have sat out there and talked the way you talked, and then your friends knew what you came in here and ordered, we had to be best friends for life now, because, and you better make sure that you have a good time when you use that stuff. Like, it's a guise is all it is. You just keep that up there for people so that they can't see.
Well, and I'm a firm believer that people, you like, do those kind of outbursts in any situation in life to cover up or to overcompensate for something else that they're not happy with. Mm-hmm. So it's, you might be talking crap and smack about a product, but you're really mad because your partner, like, you don't feel that intimacy with your partner. So instead of figuring out the reason because of that, you're just going to take it out on the pure romance consultant, you know, because she's quote unquote slinging dongs and you're mad because you're not getting any. Like,
yeah, I've heard that one too.
Don't be mad at me.
I've heard that one too. So, so all in all, like we said, I think it just boils back down to communication, which is all in baby steps. And when you talk about communication, I think one of the hardest things about that is that it's off-putting, because it can be intimidating. It can be off-putting because you don't know where to start. It can be off-putting because maybe your partner's walls are not down as much as you need them to be. But that doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. If it's important to you, you'll find a way. And the thing I recommend is starting with yourself, asking yourself the hard questions, asking yourself, how clear do you need to get on what your expectation is on not only pleasure for you, but pleasure within a relationship. And if you want it bad enough, it'll manifest itself, in my opinion. But stop focusing on what's not working, because you're only going to get more of that. Worrying is praying for stuff you don't want.
Yes, and worrying just prolongs your misery, because it hasn't even happened yet. Whatever you're worrying about hasn't happened yet. So being stuck in that place of negativity for longer than you have to be.
Well, but if you're thinking about it, by the way, it's just manifesting it. You know, like, yeah, I was thinking about this the other day. So, like, one of Cole's favorite things to do is to swing Olivia around in circles. But I have to remind him, like, hey, you have to lift her up from her armpits. You can't hold her from her wrists. And then I think to myself, I'm like, one of these days he's going to, like, pop her arm out of her socket.
Yeah.
But then I think to myself, well, who's really at fault? Because I'm going to say, then I'm going to say, I told you hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times not to pull her arm out of her socket, asking the universe for my kid to pull her arm out of her socket. Mm-hmm. You know, but if I just say something like, hey, be very clear about how you want to play with your sister or something to that effect and guide him in a path of figuring out, like, what's safest, what's best, what, whatever, whatever, then I'm not asking for... And I know that this sounds like woohoo-y silly, but my point is like, because if it were to happen, I would be so mad. Be so mad because all I talked about was that shouldn't happen, it shouldn't happen, it shouldn't happen. But if I don't focus on it and it happens, it'd be more of a, oh, that's unfortunate that that happened. Oh, but yeah. I won't be sitting and stinking and stewing and super mad at my kid because I had vocalized it every day to remind myself. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, it's also, I followed one of these teacher gals on TikTok. She teaches young children, and she talks about the way you word things is very important when you talk to children.
Yep.
Because whatever you tell them is what they're going to do. So if you tell them not to do something, they're going to do that thing.
Yeah, don't do that means they'll go do it.
Exactly. So her example was kids standing on chairs or tables, like, you know, get your feet off the table. Oh, they heard feet on table. So now they're going to put their feet on the table.
Yeah.
So instead of saying, get your feet off the table, you need to say feet on floor, like safe feet, you know, stand safe. Cause then they're going to safe feet. Safe feet means feet on the floor. They're going to stand safe. They know that they're not supposed to be standing on things.
Yep.
So it's all about how you verbalize things and how you manifest it. So,
yeah, woo-hoo. I know. And people think that is woohoo-y almost, but it's just like, and I've, you know, people roll their eyes when we talk about how we don't tell Olivia no. We don't tell her no. We just tell her what she can do. And that's the difference is like, it's just the simple and the simple shift in perspective in terms of what you're teaching them. But what you had mentioned is then it relieves you because then you're not scolding. Then you're not making them feel bad. You're doing what you're supposed to as a parent. And to me, that goes back also to like using consequence versus, punishment, you know, so it's all about that thing. So you have to just make sure that you're just being very cognizant of what you're wanting out of your relationship. So how are you verbalizing it? So that's why it takes so much work for you first before you can ever expect that your partner's ever going to get on that level with you. But the more they see you grow, the more that they're either going to one of two ways. They're either going to want what you got. So they're going to figure out their way to get closer to you, or they're going to be so torn up about the relationship and that your fact that you remind them of the person that they want to be but can't be, they'll leave.
Yes.
Or you'll get sick and tired and leave. But I'm just saying, like, don't be scared of those four options, because I think that's part of it is like people say either I'm going to get better and he never gets better. So then what happens if I have to leave? Or what if I get better and he doesn't like it and leaves? Oh, well.
Then that's not the relationship for you.
Correct. And I know that's, but it's not a reason not to work on yourself.
Yeah.
It's not a reason not to work on yourself for fear of losing something you shouldn't have anyway.
Exactly. And I know we're coming to the end of our time, but I was just going to say, if you wish that your partner was more willing or open to have those hard conversations about intimacy and things like that, lead by example, start with yourself. Like, if you're afraid that they're going to use things against you, start small. Don't give them the whole kit and caboodle of everything of vulnerability.
Yeah. Don't open the whole safe.
Yeah, it's almost like you almost test your trust with your partner. Is you share a little bit, you see how they react to it, and then you continue to share little things until you feel comfortable in your relationship and how your partner's going to react, that you feel that you can be 100% vulnerable. And I promise you, because I've done with it, I've lived it and had experience with it, the more that you open up and are accepting of their answer or like tell them, verbalize, I really appreciate how you didn't make me feel bad about this. I really appreciate that I was able to open up to you. They're going to say, hey, I can open up to my partner because they're going to react the way I did because they appreciated it.
Yeah.
So it's training your partner on how to talk about those icky subjects.
It says the baby steps is all it is. Yeah. Because you can't expect the two of you are going to go out for a run right away.
No, exactly.
Yeah. Go out, start taking some baby steps around the block. So that's where it starts. So I hope that you got some value from this. If you did, I'm going to recommend that you share it to your partner or listen to it together if you want to. You can listen on times three, get done with it in like 35 minutes. I don't know. But anyway, or to a girlfriend, of course, that you feel like would get some value from it as well. We would appreciate that. It's makes you beautiful, by the way. It's a fact. So go ahead and wrap it up. Tell them where they can find you.
Photoswithanderson.com or on Facebook. Boudoir Photos with Anderson is that secret group that I'm excited about. But again, I will say this every single time. I like friends. So send me a friend request.
Yeah. Apologies for the tiny baby hands that are banging on the office door, but it is what it is. So tune in tomorrow for Cooking to Chef Tone's Kitchen. We'll be cooking up, well, I don't even know yet, but you'll find out, and you can win it for free by sharing the video. Tune into the empowerment class if you would like to get right with your body, mind, soul, and all the things, money, and that's included too, your relationships, your spirituality, all that great stuff. July 29th, seats $30. You get an awesome online workbook, by the way. And of course, the VIP page, where you gotta be 18 years or older and a feminine energy should be a part of it. But all the sexual wellness, all the sexual intimacy building, all of that kinds of stuff, stuff from the Wish Lab coming at you from there too. I'm excited about that whenever UNL opens back up. So we appreciate y'all tuning in so much. We'll be back next Wednesday, of course. So stay happy, stay healthy, and wash your hands. Goodbye. Bye.